Potters, welcome to episode 202 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay. Woohoo! See, we've got 20 in our episodes, and the year also has 2020. Half-Life 3 confirmed!
Oh my god.
That's all I see with these memes nowadays.
Oh my
god. 2020,
Lord.
The year of the conspiracy theory with Half-Life.
We're pretty good with that, too.
Well, welcome to the second episode of 2020 for Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay and costuming and everything else zany.
Mostly cosplay.
Yes, mostly cosplay and costuming. So, we will start off with our usual cosplay updates. Do you have anything?
Not really. But I guess the only thing I can show off is I've been organizing my embroidery floss collection, and it is literally turned into a collection now. It is a very full collection, and this is not all of it. This is all I can fit in the box, believe it or not. There's a whole stash of maybe at least 30 more threads that have not been accounted for.
Hey, tackle boxes are great things for storing crafting accessories.
That's basically what I've done. Yeah, it's a lot of what I've been doing lately has been cleaning up and getting new storage systems. So I've got everything way more organized than it was before. And this was part of that process. So yeah, it's a lot. I also want to point out that all of the floss from here and here and here and here and here is just for one project. The floss from here to here is for four projects. Makes you wonder what I'm working on. That's all I got. Go Amber.
All right. What do I have for you guys? Everybody say it together now.
A pile of fabric.
A pile of fabric.
Jazz hands.
I actually have been going through my pattern stashes because normally I keep every pattern that I make. Well, after I have figured out that people change sizes over time and those patterns then become useless, I've started taking apart the fabric so I can use it to make other patterns for other things. So I have a bunch of, you know, stashes of rando fabric that I can use for experimentation, which I'm going to need because this is my Athena corset fabric. And what I need to do is to take the scrap fabric, because I don't want to experiment with my nice fabric that I don't have any more of, and figure out how I need to wrap the foam with this and still sew it together. Because what I think I want to do is make sure that the top and bottom kind of just wrap around the foam like an envelope. But I'm going to need to keep a little tab on the side so that I can stitch the corset pieces together, which, given that it's spandex, I'm probably going to have to hand stitch it. I can't really see machine stitching the tabs together unless I use a zipper flip. Because otherwise there's going to be a pretty large gap between the pieces, just given the spare that I'm going to have between the foam and the fabric. And I don't really want any large gaps between the panels. I want it to be as tight as possible. So probably going to have to hand stitch that stuff. I'm not looking forward to it. But that is what I am slowly working on for the time being, aside from figuring out how I'm supposed to use what is now literally another paper box's worth of fabric that came from patterns.
It's like you have a cycle.
I do, but it's recycling at the same time. And unlike most of my other projects, most of the pieces for my pattern fabric are actually quite large.
Mm-hmm.
So I can easily use them for other patterns. In fact, I can get multiple pieces out of some of those because my ranger costume alone had big skirt-sized pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helpful. It's like, now I have to use all the rest of this fabric up. But it's better than it was simply having it sit and, I would say, collect dust, but it was in a box. But you get the idea. It was better than just having it sit and not serve any purpose at all.
Yeah, it's better than it just letting it go to waste. I mean, you may as well use it for something.
Right. It's part of my purge project this year is get rid of stuff. So I'm slowly getting rid of it by using it up. Yes. I did go to Joann's recently, but unfortunately they did not have the supplies that I was looking for. It's always a pain when you go to Joann's or any fabric store, really, and you find the fabric that you want for a project, and they're about a yard short on the bolt, and they don't have any more bolts. So frustrating.
And you're not going to buy that piece because you need that one extra, little bit, because it all has to be continuous, heaven forbid.
It doesn't even have to be
Oh, it
continuous.
does for me.
I'm willing to piece out some of it because I know that I can always creatively move some of my pieces around, especially for some of the smaller pieces like bodice pieces, and use up that short little scrap. The selvage, as it were. But when you're a full yard short, even with the remnant, it's like, okay, now I'm really creatively gonna have to like skew this project because it was the last of the fabric they had, but it was the right kind of fabric. What am I gonna do? I don't really wanna buy more fabric. I wanna just use up what I have, so I'll have to figure something out design-wise.
You'll make it happen.
I'm gonna have to. And that doesn't even account for the lining. I haven't even gotten anything for a lining yet.
Oh, gravy. That's a whole separate issue. I can't help you there.
Yeah, I know. I may just have to creatively do what I did, like for my elven council robes, and just creatively piece a lining because nobody's going to see it. Unfortunately, it will affect the drape, just given the nature of that fabric. By the way, guys, fabric has properties. Not all fabric is made equal.
Truth.
And things like lining really do affect how your clothing hangs, which affects how it looks on you. There's this whole science and/or art to fabricking, and I am not a master. I'm barely even a novice at
Oh, you're more than a novice. You're at least an intermediate.
I still have to Google stuff, yo.
You know what? In all fairness, I think even the professionals still have to Google things and look things up. It's impossible to keep track of everything. Our brains can only retain so much information.
Plus, fabrics keep coming out that are made of newer and different materials
Yeah.
that act differently. I mean, soon all of our fabric's going to be made of, bamboo and plastic,
And
so.
hemp. And it's just like trying to learn how to work with those materials is a new experience for me. So that's a whole new skill set that you have to take on. So it's understandable.
We won't even sew it soon. We're just going to have all of our clothing printed.
Eventually, yeah, that'll be a thing.
Yep, you walk into a little 3D scanning booth. You do the TSA thing, put your hands up, let the 3D scanner take a 3D scan of your body, and then you just custom order clothing that's made to your measurements, and it just prints out right there on the spot, like 15 minutes later.
Or it just prints on your body and go full George Jetson style.
I don't know if I mean, 3D printers have really hot filament tips. I don't think I want that stuff touching my body. It would burn. It would literally fuse to my body and it would never come off. So it would be like anime style. It never comes off, you never shower, and it doesn't have seams.
That would be awesome.
It would also mean you can never go to the bathroom.
I'm sure we could figure it out. It's the future.
And these are the zany things that we have on our podcast that you guys won't find anywhere else, I promise you.
Because no one else would do this after 200 episodes.
No, of course not. Nobody would do this in one episode, let alone 200. Anyways, with that, that is the end of my cosplay update. So let's talk about AllCon.
Because we finally have some stuff finalized, so we have finally finalized. I'm good with words today. Awesome, go me. I wordsmithed earlier, so I'm tired. But yeah, we have all of our stuff finalized for our prizes, and I'm really excited that we get to talk about them now. Stuff actually started arriving to me this evening, so I'm starting to corral it all together. It's gonna be great.
These things do not fit in tackle boxes, y'all.
No. This is like insane on a new level. Do you want to mention who our sponsor slash donor is, and then I can get into the other stuff?
Yes, our wonderful sponsor for this year is TNT Cosplay Supply. Yay!
Yay!
They are a local business to us here in Dallas-Fort Worth. they offer all sorts of cosplay supplies. Now, they're mostly known for their foam and all of the accessories that you use to work with foam, but they offer plenty of other supplies. You can shop both locally at them if you are here visiting in DFW, or they have an online shop and their shipping prices are really reasonable. Of course, you guys have seen us review their Hexflex on the show. And if you go to their booth at the convention, they offer all sorts of foam goodness for you to purchase there. Plus, something that I haven't seen anywhere else, they offer full kits. So if you want to make a foam World of Warcraft gauntlet from Shaggy Craft, you
You
can do
can.
that. Not only do they give you the supplies, but they also give you the instructions. Everything comes together that you need to make it, including any sorts of sealants, adhesives, all that good stuff. And those are also pretty reasonably priced. I
Yeah.
have looked at them and I have drooled over them, just like everybody else.
And it's also nice and convenient too, because especially if you're starting out in cosplay for the first time, you may not know what materials work with, how to put things together, or even simple things. Like for us, it may be simple, like, oh, this is how you cut out scale. So if you're new to the whole process, maybe you don't understand how the whole scale things work, so you get the nice beveled edge and all that. You can buy those through TNT Cosplay Supply already for you, and you just glue them down to whatever you need. It's really nice and convenient.
And the shopkeepers, the staffers who are there at the booth will happily talk to you about how to use their products. So if you don't know about something, if you have questions about what ingredients maybe are in Hexflex or what thickness of foam would be best for this project, ask them and they will happily give you advice and they'll tell you how to use their products. They're really helpful.
So for our prize announcements, since we had that generous donation to help us procure all these amazing things, our category winners are going to receive cash prize between $25 and $75, which is a little bit more than we've been able to offer in the past. As well as we're putting together a really nice EVA foam bundle. And the bundle is going to include a couple of sheets of EVA foam. We're going to have some foam dowels in there. And we're going to have at least a 2 to 3 ounce sample, which when I say sample, that's actually a lot of foam clay, which is the really cool fun stuff that I have previously shown on the show, maybe like 8 or 9 episodes back. Lots of fun stuff you can make with that stuff, and I'm really happy that we can give some of that away. And of course, always a customized trophy because Val likes trophies. I think everybody should get a trophy, so we're doing trophies because they're great. And then for our grand prize, this is going to be uber awesome. We're going to give away $100. We're going to be giving away a Cricut Air 2 prize pack. And Cricut is one of those weird little machines where you're like, how does this work for cosplay? And then you start using it and you're like, how did I live without this piece of equipment? It is amazing because it can cut over 100 different types of materials, including fabric, key figure, including fabric, very important. And the kit's going to include additional blades, some additional tools, some mats. We have a tube of vinyl that's going to be included with it. All so many great stuff. This is a big, big bundle. They're also going to be getting an EVA foam pack from us. Yay! And of course, the big customized trophy because trophy. This is one of our largest prize pools we've ever had for an all con. Like back in 2016, we had $600 that we gave away in total. For the whole event, the best in show prize is worth more than 600. Like that alone, we have completely maximized and went super scale this year. So I am incredibly surprised and happy and super, super pleased that we
We are
can,
super grateful.
yeah, that we can give this stuff away because we make sure that we spend every single penny on getting the best possible prize packages for the contestants. And I think we came up with something really cool this time. So if you're interested in joining the contest, sign up today. Like seriously, the application's online right now. You can check our show notes, which leads to our website and has all the information, or visit us up on Facebook and you can sign up that way too. So just sign up, get your spot early because we're limiting it to 50 contestants just for time constraints. You'll definitely want to get in on this because these are all really awesome prizes to have.
Yep, we strive our best each and every year to show our appreciation for not only the winners, but all of the cosplayers that participate. Because as cosplayers, we know intimately how much effort it takes to not only make the costume, but to get up on the stage and strut your stuff. And we really want to make sure that you guys understand like how much we appreciate you guys basically making the contest for us. Because otherwise we're just handing out prizes like a raffle. No, you guys earn these. So we're very happy to be partnering with TNT Cosplay Supply to give you guys the prizes this year that you have earned.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be busy.
I mean, even we want the grand prize, to be fair. We were sitting here trying to put together ideas for prize packs. And as we were sitting here looking at stuff, just going, oh, this is so cool. I could totally use this. Oh, I want one of these. Oh, what does this thing do? It's just like, oh.
Yeah, and a Cricut is one of those that I've wanted for a long, long time. But I've just never really, like, bit the bullet to get one because they're a little pricey, guys. They're a little pricey, so.
They are, but they do some pretty darn cool stuff.
I shared a Facebook post today from AdamsTested.com, which was a custom Cricut cabinet for their shop that would kind of maneuver around. And he was showing off its uses, and it was like, yeah, there's a reason why we all want this thing, because it will make applique a bajillion times easier.
Yep. Any sort of blinging up a costume is just made 10 times easier when you have a machine that will accurately, repeatedly cut intricate patterns for you.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for this one. Yay! Can't wait till it arrives. I won't be able to play with it, though. I'll just have to open it and make sure.
I was going
to
say, you have to keep it in its box when it arrives. No unboxing.
I have to unbox it to make sure all the pieces are there. I'm not going to use it, but I got to make sure the pieces are there. I mean, let's be frank. Okay.
That's fair. I prefer Shirley, not Frank.
Ah.
Moving on. Wah.
All right.
All right. So, of course, after you have signed up for AllCon, you can come back here and then participate in our discussion about our topic for tonight. Photoshop. When is it too much?
Because the land of Photoshop is great and wonderful and amazing for cosplay. But there comes a time and a point where you have to wonder how much of the image is fantasy and how much of it is reality. So we're going to talk about, you know, pros and cons, what are likes and dislikes. It's going to be a little bit more of an opinionated topic. Because I think there are definitely benefits to Photoshop. And I think there are a lot of drawbacks to Photoshop.
So how would you like to start the discussion?
I think I'm going to start with the things that I dislike about Photoshop. Because, you know, we can end on a high note that way. Hey.
Yes.
There you go. Applause.
Boo.
So, my current pet peeve with Photoshop when it comes to cosplay is I think there are, editors and photographers and even cosplayers that are taking it to such an extreme level that you can't really appreciate the costume and the work that went into the cosplay itself. It's all about, here's the shiny stuff around me and on me to manipulate me so I look like I'm in the anime or I'm in the video game. And you miss all the detail. And that really bothers me. It also tends to manipulate the person's skin tone or their face structure or their bone structure to try to replicate the character. And then it just takes out that extra element of reality and it just becomes a full fantasy montage. And it's like, well, how much of this is really you and your art putting forth on this costume, and how much of this is photo manipulation? That personally bothers me a lot because I want to appreciate the costume.
I kind of also want to appreciate the person in the costume.
Yeah!
Because as you were getting at, trying to Photoshop to make yourself look more accurately like a character, we all have to remember something. A character is simply one artist's depiction of what something should look like. It's a concept from one person that doesn't necessarily make it authoritative 110%. Nobody can make anything different on this. So when you're trying to drive people towards a certain ideal to say, if you want to portray this character, you must look like this. And if you look anything different, suddenly you're a horrible cosplayer and you're inaccurate. I don't think that's a healthy ideal to drive towards. And I think Photoshop is kind of pushing us towards that ideal a little too hard. It's kind of taking the fun out of it. And it's also, you know, this may be a little controversial, but I think to a point it may drive a little bit of body dysmorphia.
Yeah, definitely that. And for me, I mean, I've seen people who comment on these overly Photoshop images saying, wow, that looks beautiful. I can never do that. And that's the last thing that we want to do, is push people out of cosplay or discourage them from doing it because they can't meet this impossible standard. And it's like, well, that image was so heavily altered, you could probably really easily do that. Just takes a couple of hours of learning how to use Photoshop and doing it to yourself. But that shouldn't be how we approach this. Cosplay is for everyone. We need to make it accessible. We shouldn't focus on the end image being so overly processed that we can't tell the difference between the fantasy and reality.
Yep. Plus, there comes kind of a point when you need to accept your body as it is. Not to say that you can't make healthy changes in your lifestyle, but having Photoshop make some unrealistic changes that aren't physically possible, it has some mental ramifications too. And I think it can actually make people a little dissatisfied with their cosplay, dissatisfied with cosplay in general, because it's reaching for that fantasy that you literally can't. So I think it's something to consider when you're like basically having more Photoshop in a picture than the person. It's like, well, then why don't you just get an artist to draw that character?
Mm-hmm.
You may as well if you're going for the fantasy representation. There's nothing wrong with a good picture.
Yeah.
It's just not quite the same as cosplay.
You got a solid amen in chat.
Raw men, thank you.
There we go. And then another level for me is, oh goodness, now I lost my train of thought because I saw it was the amen and it just went like,
choo choo. Follow the train, just back the train up. Follow it back.
The train is backing up, but it ain't helping. The train is just like, what's going on? Oh, okay, here we go. So I also find that there is beauty in reality, in showing the person behind the costume and showing those imperfections and the fact that we're all different and we're all unique and we're all playing dress up in these fun and creative ways. And I want to see that person behind the costume. And you don't get that when you have a Photoshopped image where you're trying to look so much like the character from the game, the anime, whatever, that you don't know. There's beauty in having those flaws out there.
I think part of one of the beautiful things of cosplay is learning all the intricacies, learning how to pose, learning how to emote, not just with the face, but with the body, with the posture, with the mood of an environment that you're in, choosing a good place to take the photos in. Photoshop can override so much of that, but then it becomes a little bit artificial. Like, I can change your face to make you look super angry, Saiyan style. But, you know, there's a reason that some of us practice for hours looking dorky in a mirror before a convention.
Mm-hmm.
Is because we want to make sure that we have the right facial expressions and the right poses. And, you know, maybe just tilt your chin up just a little bit to get that haughtier look so that whenever you do it in front of somebody taking your photo at a convention, you get just the portrayal that you want. And you learn through that. You learn how the body works, how to do things with your body, how to tell a story. And you don't need Photoshop at all for any of that. Most of us get by without ever touching Photoshop. But you have to actually do the things, experience the things with your body, and you can explore things that maybe that character hasn't had a chance to do in their series if you do it, because it's your interpretation. Forget Photoshop. Take it as like theater. It's so much more fun that way. Remember, it's play, cosplay. We are a play. All the world's a stage.
It's the same way when it comes to makeup and wigs. Like, people can do such amazing things in makeups and wigs. And people have made entire careers out of just transforming their faces to look like different people, different creatures, different things. And it's incredible. And no photoshopping is involved. That's an art. And it kind of discounts, and I don't want to say discredits the wrong word, but it discounts their art, and it kind of makes it not feel as special when it's like, okay, Photoshop, I have a new face now. It just feels weird. It feels weird to me. I don't get it. I don't get it, and I don't like it. And I know people are going to be like, blah, blah, blah. That's how they want to cosplay. Okay, fine. That's how you want to cosplay. I'm not judging you on that. I'm not judging anybody on any of that. It's just not my thing.
I take your Photoshop and I raise you my cell phone image filter that puts cat ears on my head.
And weird sunglasses and tiaras
Exactly.
and
Exactly.
sparkles.
It kind of turns it into that to where it's almost a distraction.
Really does. It does. It's very much a distraction. It takes the focus away from the art and from the costume, and instead it focuses on all of the shiny things going on around the costume.
Because honestly, and I think you might agree with me, but cosplay photos are meant to enhance the cosplay that is already there. The focus is supposed to be on the cosplay and the cosplayer, not on special effects around them and not on even the background. The background is just a backdrop. You could do it against a green screen and Photoshop in the backdrop later if you wanted to, but the focus is supposed to be on the cosplay. And the moment. So if you kind of overdo the Photoshop, well, then the focus becomes the Photoshop. What's the point of having the cosplayer? Just Photoshop the whole picture. Just draw it.
Just draw it in. So, since we're getting a little bit low on time, let's do the flip side of the positives with Photoshop, because I do think Photoshop is a very good tool to have to accommodate a cosplay photo. And it's just more than fixing like small flaws. Like, here's a stray wig hair that just kind of went woody woo. I mean, you can edit that a little bit. Or if you see that maybe you didn't snip a thread off of your costume, you can edit that out. If you decide that you really, really wanted the character's eye color, but you can't wear contacts, I'm a victim of this. You can change your eye color. Like, that's fine. I think little changes like that are okay. I'm also really cool because I have a friend who does a lot of green screen work. But his green screen work really is about showing off the cosplayer and really enhancing the cosplayer and the costume and the natural elements. So he turns out fantastic work, and I've worked with him before. He does really, really great stuff, and I enjoy those type of photos because they still feel very real and they don't detract from the cosplayer.
I have to say, there are some special effects that like skilled Photoshoppers can do that enhance the cosplay because it's integral to the character, but maybe dangerous for the cosplayer in real life. So for example, if somebody is a sorcerer that flings fireballs around, I do not want a cosplayer getting fire toys and actually holding a fireball. Because that can be very dangerous, not just for the cosplayer, but for anyone around in case, maybe they drop it for some reason, or if there's a medical emergency. Or say if somebody flings lightning around. Well, last I checked, sticking a fork in a socket is not cool and is not recommended for cosplayers. So I do not recommend, trying to call down lightning from the sky by holding up an umbrella during a storm. Speaking of storms, one of the easiest things that you can do with Photoshop, and I think one of the most legitimate, is to change the weather. So if you have a winter cosplay and you happen to live in a climate where you don't get very much snow, okay, it's acceptable. I could totally see you photoshopping some snow in there. Perfectly fine. I don't want any cosplayer to get hypothermia for the sake of a good picture. I want people to be safe, but have a good time. So yeah. Perfectly fine. If you want to Photoshop some rain, I'm all for that. That's cool too.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way too. Or like if they're tweaking some lighting because maybe they had some issues with composition because, clouds started rolling in and then it blocked out the sun and it just kind of screwed up with your lighting on your camera. Like, that to me makes sense because I do that all the time in my day job because I work with inanimate objects. Sometimes the sun comes up and it's like, oh, you just fudged my lighting, but this is a really nice shot. I know I can go into Photoshop, go in the Lightroom, make some adjustments. It's still a great image. It still highlights the product. I just had to just change the lighting a little bit. Like, I see nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Totally understandable, totally reasonable.
Even minor coloration changes, if you need to like deepen the hue of a blue, yeah, perfectly legitimate use. In fact, that's an encouraged use in some ways of Photoshop, is just to manipulate pictures slightly to bring out what you want to bring out and kind of push to the back a little bit what you want to push back. But it doesn't alter the composition of the photo.
Definitely. I think that's when you get to that point. When it becomes that the composition is changed, then you're just like, you've gone into a whole nother realm where you wonder the fantasy and the reality. But yeah, changing, saturation, the contrast, because as we know, lights can affect your clothing. Even a flash from a camera can affect the color of your clothing. So that can make a difference. And you something that looks more blue or more green in reality, and you look at your camera and you're like, oh, that didn't turn out as nice. That's an acceptable use of Photoshop to make it match what the real color is.
I mean, to an extent, I can even see layering two pictures together if it's for a specific purpose, if it's for a specific effect. Say, if you have cosplayers in two different locations who couldn't be on the same site together, but they're from the same series and they agree to have a composite picture. Okay. Yeah, that's changing the composition a little, but for that purpose, they're actually working towards a goal of having both people in the same picture. So that was the original composition goal to begin with. Okay, you're not really changing it. So you're not changing, say, their poses, you're not changing the environment that they're in. You're not telling a different story.
I've seen a lot of those type of images where it's like mirror images or reflection images. You've got one version of the character and the other version looking at each other. I mean, stuff like that is kind of cool and neat. And people go in with this is the idea that we're going to do. This is how we want to achieve that. Again, totally fine. Don't have a problem. As long as they're not changing their facial structures or their skin tones or giving them new jaw lines, giving them the most flawless face known to man, where they have no wrinkles and no blotches anywhere. That's when I start going, okay, I think you've taken the shopping a little too far. Let's pull it back. It's okay to let the people still look real. That's fine.
Remember, these fans are going to see you in real life too. You are not just a photo on their wall. At some point, you're going to go to a convention and people will realize you don't look like the picture.
And then they're going to have questions and go, but wait, you look so good, like XYZ. And I was like, well, yeah, it's all the magic of Photoshop. And then it just kind of sucks out some of the interest and the fun in the costume. You're like, oh, you Photoshopped it. Okay, cool. Good job.
Yep, and then they're going to demand, I want the Photoshop version to show up.
And we can't be the Photoshop version. That's not going to happen. We do not look like these.
No, humans are not perfect.
No, we are very much imperfect. So now
But
I'm
you
waiting
know,
for all the angry letters of people saying, oh, you guys hate Photoshop. You are the devil. What is wrong with you? Photoshop is important, blah, blah, blah. Not
No,
what we're
we have
saying.
explicitly said that there are many occasions in which Photoshop is perfectly fine to use.
Absolutely 150%.
We're just saying, as with all things in life, as with purchasing fabric, eating ice cream,
Drinking coffee.
work-life balance, all things in moderation. Well, I mean, some
Moderation.
people might disagree about moderation with a coffee.
I've gotten better about that.
Going to conventions in
In
moderation.
moderation. Moderation is a good thing. We're only human.
We're only human.
No. No. I'm gonna stop you right there. No.
Be grateful there are no songs about Photoshop.
Oh, I'm sure there are. I just gotta look for them.
But I believe that completes our discussion about Photoshop. When is it too much?
We've done really good. We're almost like we're just around that 30-minute mark, and this is like the first time we've done that in a really long time.
And of course, if you guys would like to join in the conversation, angry letters or not, about your thoughts about Photoshop, your experiences with Photoshop, maybe what you'd like to see Photoshop used for, feel free to join in the conversation on any of our social media, which of course you can find
here. In that little corner over there where it's clear as day and you can't miss it because it sits there for the entire show now. I do love our new format because, man, I don't have to do weird texts and all that. This is nice. It's real nice.
And if you feel uncomfortable participating in any of our permanently displayed social media, you can join us via email, podcast@cospod.org, where, of course, you will happily get a response from both of us. Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying and happy photoshopping. And we will see you guys next time in episode 203 of Cospod the Podcast for all things cosplay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.